This is one of those things. Cell phone commercials. Can you hear me now? So, welcome. Just really, really great to be here again. Some of you that have really good memories, and you were here last time. Last time I was here was in Mother's Day of last year. So, it was a real treat to be with you then, and I'm really excited to be back. Pastor Trevor and Stephanie have a real special place in our hearts. My first youth pastorate out of Bible college was in Perth, Ontario, and that's where Pastor Trevor is from, and so we got to know the family and him, and he was one of my Bible college students. You know, that youth group was a very special youth group. Out of that group, I think we figured out something like five people now are in full-time pastors, so just an amazing group of people that came out of that church and ministry, and Pastor Trevor's one of them, and to see him go off and do ministry, and now to be colleagues together, working together, so really, really neat. As you heard, I work at the jail. We moved here in January of 2016 to take on the role of one of the chaplains at the jail. The head chaplain retired in December of last year, and they offered me the job, so now I'm the coordinator of chaplaincy service at the jail, and basically that's a fancy title for, I get the opportunity to preach Jesus to some pretty broken people, and I just cherish that opportunity. Every week we see, we have wonderful volunteers that just preach Jesus to people, and I think one week we counted something like seven or eight people made conversions to Christ, and so that was a couple weeks ago, and I just thank God for that, because you know what? But John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and as you can appreciate, I meet a lot of people that fit that mold. They've been beaten down pretty good by the enemy, but you know what? It's wonderful to be able to say to them, but Jesus said, I come to give you life. We've had some wonderful testimonies in the two and a half years since I've been doing jail ministry of people that have taken on that challenge and said, Jesus, here's my broken life. If you can make me whole, come and do it. And he does, and it's amazing what he does. So welcome you. I just love that. Also as well, interesting enough, Newcastle Pentecostal Church, and also as well, Crossroads Christian Assembly, the previous name of the church, was really special to my heart because I graduated from Bible college in 1999. In 1995, our freshman class did a special missions project for your church, and I remember coming down and we presented some money to the church and they used it for some children's ministry stuff way back then. And so I've always remembered this church and being able to do that as part of my freshman class and to be able to do that. Well, today I want to speak to something very near and dear to my heart. It's very interesting. I noticed you guys went through a name change and you're now called Newcastle Pentecostal Church. And one of the things that I really noticed, which I really loved, was the fact that when you chose your name, you didn't do kind of like that generic trend where everybody just kind of blends out and we're all community church, but actually says you're a Pentecostal church. When people are flying down the 115, they don't have to wonder what you believe in. They know who you are. You are a Pentecostal church. You know, and I just believe in that because you might say, but you're a PAOC pastor. You have to say that. But from my experience, and I want to share a bit about that today, I didn't grow up PAOC. I didn't grow up Pentecostal. I grew up Baptist. I really appreciated that. I learned the word. And then when I was 16, I was invited to the Pentecostal youth group and learned. And what drew me to continue to that group was that the Holy Spirit was real and moving and touching people in a special way and met me where I was. And I just said, I want that. And it began to move me in a wonderful journey through in experiencing all that God wanted for me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what really cemented me being a Pentecostal pastor that wants the moving of the Spirit of God in my life in a deep and personal way was when God showed up in one of those moments in my life when I was extremely low. You ever been in that situation in your life where you feel like dirt, and dirt's probably being pretty positive? And I was going through one of those moments in my life, and I was up north, and I was at a Pentecostal Native camp meeting. And if you've ever gone to an Aboriginal camp meeting, they're like church services on steroids. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, we started about 7:30 at night, and I would be shutting it down at about 3:30 in the morning. And we did that for like 4 days. And I remember as this, you know, white guy going to these Aboriginal meetings, I had to take breaks. Like, it was just so much. It was just on and on, and it was amazing. And God was touching people in powerful ways. And I remember at the end of one of these services, I was praying for this person, and again, out of this brokenness and just feeling low. And I'll never forget this as long as I'm alive. This single mother came, and she pulled the stroller, and she had the other kid walking beside the stroller, and she looked at me, and she said, "I got a word for you from God." And she gave me the word, and it was exactly what I needed to hear at that moment, where God reminded me that he hadn't forgotten about me, and that he had a plan and a purpose for my future, and to keep rolling. And at that moment, it was one of those immediate course corrections that took me from where I was at to help me to keep going on to the next future. A word in season. So today I want to look at Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 20. And to really ask the question, what does it mean to be a Pentecostal church? Interesting enough, in 2019, the PAOC will be celebrating 100 years as an official denomination. And so we want to ask ourselves, what does that mean in the 21st century to be a Pentecostal church? I'm not here to flag the PAOC. We don't turn our attention towards Mississauga and to pray that way. We serve Jesus. But we're part of a fellowship who has some core values, which I believe strongly in because they're biblical. And so we want to look at this passage and we want to talk about that. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to us, Lord, we ask. These are not my words, Lord. This is the word of God. So, Lord, may it challenge us, encourage us, and minister to us, Lord. Amen. So to ask the question, what is a Pentecostal church? And the first one we see, there should be some slides there. Sorry, there will go. We lost it. There we go. Next one. We'll just keep rolling. We are a church that is committed to the Great Commission. We are not a social club. We are people that believe that Jesus is coming back soon, and people who are called to go. As a church and individuals, we are called to go in and preach the gospel and look for godly, creative ways to do that. I don't know if you caught in the Pentecostal testimony, there was a story a couple months back, a few months actually, about a church in Montreal that really took advantage of an internet phenomenon with that Pokemon Go and began to use their church as an outreach spot to reach people. And they said something like 15,000 people were touched by their church's outreach to find this creative way to be able to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice what it says. It says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is not just for pastors, but all people. And the reason for that, and we all talk about that, is God has put people into your life that I will never reach. And people are in my life that you will never reach. And I'm not called to reach the people in your life. I'm called to reach the people that God has put into my life. I like to call that the circle of influence. Our early PARC founders would have found it odd that I'm preaching this point. They were passionate people who were on fire for God. And when you read the stories of the missionaries that went all over the world and all over Canada using the technology of the day to reach people. But the challenge that I see and where God wants to remind us of this is that as a church is, we become comfortable as a movement, and as churches we can become stuck in our ways. People built buildings and said, let them come to us. And we have massive buildings that are empty. We get stuck on how we do church, songs, technology, what time the service ends. And in the process, we lost our way. One of the fundamental core values as a Pentecostal church is that our first and foremost priority, and nothing else matters, is that people need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we need to do everything we can to ensure that our neighbors and our coworkers and our family know that. And so as a church, let us be careful that we don't get stuck in our ways. We have our preferences. We have our song choices. We may even have our preference on building colors and seat colors. And it's amazing the number of things that can get people excited. How many church splits have happened because they wanted to change the color of the pews? I mean, and it's like, come on, people. We are a passionate people that says we need Jesus. One of the things that has really emboldened me about this is working at the jail and working with so many broken people. It's like, and then sometimes when I get caught up into some of these discussions, I want to kind of politely slap people and say, with all the love of Jesus, really? Do you realize the people that I talk to 5 days a week who would love to be able to have the freedom to be able to argue whether the church seats should be blue or red? And yet their lives are being smushed by the enemy. They need the freedom of Jesus. Notice verse 16 there. It says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. This is an interesting passage in that some use this passage and others to say that if someone is not water baptized, they're not a Christian. But when you look at the totality of the Bible, that is not what it is saying. There was an assumption that if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will be saved and that you will want to be baptized. So what's the next point? God is empowering the church to go and to do the Great Commission. And it says, and these signs, verse 17, will accompany those who believe. The cooperation of Christ was promised not for the apostolic age alone, but for the whole time. God did not send out his people who have no tools or weapons to go and do the job of preaching the gospel, but he has empowered us to go and to be the church, an empowered church. The challenge, of course, is that we don't know that we have the tools or we don't use them properly. And damage can be done. Story goes of this young hotshot guy goes up to his neighbor, an old farmer, who was cutting down a tree with an axe. Farmer was doing okay, but, you know, trying to cut a big tree down with an axe, pretty time consuming. And so the neighbor pulls out his chainsaw and leaves it with the neighbor and says, here, use it, it's going to help you. Young neighbor comes back the next day and says to the farmer, he says, how'd it go? I see you're not using my chainsaw. He says, it took me 10 times as long to cut this tree down. Young neighbor was a little confused, fired up the chainsaw, and the old farmer said, it can do that? I was trying to cut the tree down without the power to do it. I think sometimes, you know, we need to know what God has given us, the tools, so that we can go and use it. And my Bible says these signs, these are gifts, these are tools for us as the church to go and do the job. God has not called us to do a job without the tools. When I lived up north, I had a neighbor who had like the ultimate man cave. He had every tool under the sun. And so God gave me amazing favor to be able to go and to borrow his tools when I needed them. And that's one thing I began to realize is that it's you might have a tool, but when you have the right tool, it just works that much better. And God has given us all the tools we need to go and do the job of going and doing the Great Commission. But that's why we need to study them and to know them and to walk out in faith with them. And we understand that as faith-filled believers, as we begin to go and do the work that God has called us to do, we won't do it alone. You know, there's been many times I sat and I ministered to prisoners and I heard their stories and I said to God, God, you got to give me the right words here. Like, I'm speechless. Like, what do I say to this guy? And God came and he gave me the right words at the right time, and I believe that can be for you as well. I've also seen as a Pentecostal the signs, gifts of the church, gifts of God for the church misused, and I believe that God is not pleased. I remember this one case, very sad case, many, many years ago. This guy's baby was dying. And somebody rose up within the church and said, God has settled me, this baby will be well. And everybody's excited. Yeah, thank you, God. And the baby died. Who was wrong? Obviously, that person. Church, have we put our faith in God and believe that as you pray and then go at the right moment, that God will make sure that you are not left hanging? It's interesting as well, as I read the commentary on these passages, it reminds us that these gifts, tools, and signs for the church are not there for the comfort and the convenience of the church. They're not for us. They're tools to help us to go and do a job. As we look at verse 20, we begin to see that the disciples, they went out and they preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. As we look at verse 20, we see that the point of the signs was wonders, was to confirm his word. God, all throughout history, has been in the business of showing signs and wonders to confirm his word. God is able to do what he said he can do. I think of healings that have happened so that he showed people that I am the Son of God. I think of Jesus getting raised from the dead. Why? So that God showed us that when we put our faith in Christ, he can heal us and he will set us free. Why? Because he raised Jesus from the dead. Some people may be thinking, well, that was for the Apostles' Day. That wasn't for today. Or maybe it's for superstar Christians, like Pastor Trevor. Not for little old me. One of the concerns I see sometimes is that with the professionalization of it, that we think that God's Spirit somehow only works in a select few. But as I read my Bible, I see that that's just not the case. It's interesting, you know, I've been following and watching online this church in Northern California, and this pastor, and he talked about, he heard that God was doing something in Toronto, and he went down and he checked it out, and it touched him in such a powerful way that in a moment of desperation and hunger, he said, God, if you would use this in the church that I minister in, and he says, I promise that I would preach on the moving of the Spirit and renewal for the rest of my ministry. And God answered his prayer, and now this church has exploded as they equip believers through conferences and reaching their city and around the world. What am I thinking? Where am I going? God has a fresh move for our country today. We talked about that. We cannot ride on the previous generation's coattails. God has done some great things in the past, but we believe that he has more for us. I'm thankful for the blessings of God of yesterday, but God wants to do something fresh. And why? Because to give us the tools to go on to reach this new and upcoming generation. Next one, we see the signs. That works. My next point is we see that God has given us specifically signs. The first one, it says, in my name they will drive out demons. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We need to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit to drive out the demonic, to see people set free. I remember one time many years ago, we were praying for this woman, and God healed her in such a dramatic way. The initial phone call went something like this. I picked up the phone and said, hi, I'm Pastor John. Can I help you? And she's like, yes, I'd like to meet with you. I think I'm demon-possessed. Now, where do you go from there on something like this? Like, so I said, oh, okay, sure, let's get together. So I brought my wife with me, and we brought another prayer warrior person, and we met with the woman, and she recommitted her life to Christ, and God had met her about 95%, but there was still some oppression that was happening. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, I just felt the Lord saying to this woman, do you have anything in your house that might be opening up your life to the demonic? And she went through her house and she pulled out a bunch of stuff. Instantly, God set her free. It was the Spirit of God that came and touched her in a powerful way to defeat the enemy. And it was a powerful testimony of what God can and won't do. And this woman was amazing because, for many reasons, but her goal was to see her whole family and her whole native community come to know Jesus and to be in church. And it was interesting, at her funeral, that church was packed of people from her community. So through her death, ultimately a few years later, God answered that. Next sign we see, it says, they will speak in new tongues. Baptism in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues is that glorious thing for the believer to enter into the fullness of the Spirit and all that God has for you. This is an important tool that PAOC statistics tell us people are using less and less, which is sad. Like, to me, again, right, I want the best tools. If I have my hand screwdriver, or I have my cordless, that thing, and if my cordless is working, I'm going to use that one. Why? Because the other works fine, but man, the other is sure much better. So let's not become functional cessationists. Cessationists means those are churches that don't believe that this passage is for today. And we might officially, as a Pentecostal church, believe in the moving of the Spirit, but if we're not living like it, then we become functional. Maybe not theological, but functional in how we live our lives. And the baptism of the Spirit is that glorious thing that God has and wants for His church to enter into a deeper level of what God wants for you and for your life. Next, verse 18, it says, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. This is an interesting passage because it's been misused here, and the consequences have been deadly for people. Just a case not too long ago where someone was trying to put this passage to good work, and they died from the snake bite. So what was God really trying to say here? Paul was bitten by a serpent in Malta. Talks about that in Acts 21. He certainly did not go out of his way looking for dangerous serpents. Indeed, he did not invoke entire church services to go around messing with a bunch of deadly snakes. As James Edwards' commentary says, there's a question as to whether the image of picking up the snakes cannot be understood metaphorically. That is, in the age of salvation, the curse of the serpent shall be overcome. But also as well, though, in another commentary, it says, the point is not so much that such beings can be handled safely, inasmuch that such forces and what they represent can be opposed and crushed. The disciples were secure in God's hands. Nothing could stop them. And that's what God wanted to remind them. There are lots of stories where you can pull off the internet of people who have faced horrific stuff, and God has come and He has rescued them. People that have been in Daniel-like circumstances, and God came and He touched them and met them in a powerful way. And I just believe that for you as well. That as you go and be the Christian, the spiritually equipped Christian that God has called you to be, you may be in Daniel-like circumstances in your work, in your school, in your families, but guess what? They will not hurt you. Why? Because God's Spirit is upon you to go. Another sign, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. I love this one the most because it's such a powerful thing when people are ill, and as believers we can go and we can pray for them and God heals them. Now I'm just not talking about, oh, I have a pain in the neck and God touches it. I mean, that's good, but a wonderful story of a woman by the name of Kathleen in our church up north, she was diagnosed. She had the medical record, she had the diagnosis, they had the brain scan. She had brain cancer. Doctor told her, go home, plan your funeral. You're dead. You're going to die in a couple months. And she was a wonderful woman that believed in prayer and believed that God could touch people. And so as a church, we prayed for her. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we kept praying. And I'm pleased to report that about a year ago, she went back to the doctors and the doctors said, "Cancer, what cancer? There's no cancer there." God healed her completely. And I believe that for us today, that there is nothing, no illness, no nothing, that God cannot touch, that God cannot heal. Why? Because it's a sign for the church. It's a tool that God gives us as a church to go and to touch people. As I'm praying for my neighbors and my family and my coworkers, God can use that as well to bring healing and wholeness. Why? So that ultimately at the end of the day, people will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So church, let's believe in that today. Let's stop believing that sickness can overcome us. Let's stop believing that it is permanent. Let's stop believing the lies of the enemy that when life gets tough, that God can't intervene. I think too many people have believed the lies of the enemy when the enemy said, "This is as good as it's going to get." And we say, "No, I don't believe in that, but I'm going to focus on Jesus and what he wants for me and for my life." I remember one time my wife and I did a kitchen renovation up north in our last house. And that's not for the faint of heart. I mean, you want to talk about stress in relationships when you don't have a functional kitchen. I mean, it was awful. And we got the dishwasher installed, and we didn't quite install it right. Didn't know what I was doing, and I get the plumber over, and he does his thing, and I said, "Dude, it's not closing right." And he said, "Based on the current configuration of the cupboards, this is as good as it's going to get." I said, "Oh, okay." So I had my contractor over the next morning. What do? We changed the circumstance so that the dishwasher would close properly. Where am I going with this? Is I believe too many people have stopped at that point when the enemy says, "This is as good as it's going to get. This sickness isn't going to get any better. This circumstance isn't going to get any better." And they didn't do the next part. They didn't change. What does that changing be? We go back to the Heavenly Father and say, "Father, I need you to move in this situation." And guess what? God comes and he moves and he intervenes. So guess what? Let's do that. I guess to wrap all of this up, like I said, I just love this church, and I just appreciate Pastor Trevor and Stephanie and the opportunity to come back. We just pray God's blessing. It's so wonderful to see so many new people here compared to last year. I'm just believing for more and more people to come and to hear the stories. But hear the cry of my heart is that God invites you to call out to God and to ask him for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit upon your life and upon your family and upon this church and on this community. Why? Because the Spirit is here and he wants to come and work and empower you so that greater things can come to this church, to this community. Why? Because the enemy does come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I come to give you life." And there, I don't know about you, but as I look around people in my community, they need to hear that. They need to know that. So go and use the tools that God has given you. Don't be like that Mennonite, that old farmer. I don't know why I pick on the Mennonites sometimes when I use that illustration. Maybe it's because they're old school. But, you know, trying to cut the tree down with the chainsaw not running. Had the tool, wasn't using it. Let's go and use the tools that God has given us to use them properly to run with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you died for us. Thank you for the great and mighty things that you want to do. Thank you, Lord, that you want to do a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon each person that is here. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would come and you would touch right now. Father God, I sense at least one person here that is weary and worn. They're beginning to doubt, Lord, whether you can intervene in their situation. I pray that a measure of faith would rise up where they would just continue to keep their eyes on Jesus and that they're going to push forward in you, Lord. and believe you for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit in your life and in that situation. Father, thank you for Pastor Trevor and Stephanie in this weekend away. And God, may you just refresh them mightily as a leadership and as a family. And this summer as they spend time with their kids, Lord, and that give them a great burden for the fall, Father, and a vision to see this church do even greater things. And then when we come back again, Lord, to see new and exciting things. So undertake in all of this, Father, we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.